Today's Wednesday. A lot of people call it hump day. I call it Wednesday.
Guess what day it is? Live and local with Monica J. on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3. It's Wednesday. It's hump day here, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today in the second hour of the show today. If you miss anything and you want to go back and backtrack, or you've got time for it later on, check out our podcasts, 991fmtalk.com. You can also answer today's poll question there about police chief and acting city manager Jason Soto. And what's going on with law enforcement? And I've got something that is very disturbing and controlling going on with law enforcement after we go to the talk and text lines at 884-9910 because Terry is on the line. And, you know, I would never miss a call from Terry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gorgeous. How you doing?
I am doing fabulous. Getting a few things off my chest. What do you want to talk about?
I can't believe how things are going. I mean, everything's changing so fast. We're mm-hmm. changing the Uncle Ben's wrapper, you know. I don't know. I think it's all gotten too far out of hand. Everything's changing. It's hard to put it into words.
I'm glad you mentioned that about Uncle Ben's, because people are so uneducated when it comes to history. You know, the A.K. Aunt Jemima, you know, she was actually a real woman that this came from. Her name was Nancy Green, and she was born into slavery, but she was a magnificent cook. And when she was freed, she rolled that talent into cooking that General Mills bought, and they used her likeness. She was the first, when she died in 1923, she was the first American, the first Black American who died a millionaire. But yet people portray her as just some made-up character to progress racism because they're so uneducated.
Well, you certainly showed me on that. I didn't know that score. The point that I'm trying to make this morning is it's not that important to go back and erase history. It's actually really bad. I mean, my grandson came asking me questions. What's going on here, Papa? Why is everything getting so crazy?
And I hope you're sitting him down and giving him the truth, because it is crazy. And they're just going to continue to do it, Terry, because they've gotten away with it for so long. You know, even when I was in school, I'm trying to think back. It's like, wow, they even did this back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. That's right. Well, you know, I seen a little caption on something I was scrolling through, and it showed a bunch of kids playing. This was back in, I'd say, the 60s when I was growing up. And I remember we had all the colored kids and all the fat kids and the skinny kids, and we'd all get a ball game going mm-hmm. and playing stickball. And you're not even allowed to have a stick. I mean, let alone everybody play with each other. And this was when I was like 10 or 11 years old. You know,
heck, and
I
Terry, remember you're not that, even allowed to go outside right now.
Yeah, and that's just insane. It's just changing. I wanted to say that.
It's control, Terry. It's just flat out control. Racism is not inherited.
Somehow.
Yeah, we have to, by speaking up and not letting them confuse the issues and making sure that we speak our truth to everybody who will listen. Because that's the big problem, Terry, is there are so many people who will not listen. And when they start to get shouted down by these thugs, they stop and they just walk away. And we can't have that anymore. Terry, thank you so much for the call. God bless you. I love hearing from you. And please, that grandbaby, make sure he knows exactly what's going on. Continuing on our conversation about law enforcement, let's check in with Kath on the phone line this morning. First off, though, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kath. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling the show today. What's your thoughts on law enforcement?
Well, I was an R&D for the sciences, and you know, law enforcement was the last thing on my mind, but I had reason to research the activities of two people who had committed some crimes and find out more about the situation. And because they were family members, I was able to get records from the courts and police departments of Douglas County and Washoe County. And that's about 15 places. So 6 years ago on my birthday, I took all the reports and started correlating them to their criminal activity. Both of them are 40 now. So they were 34. They started their drug activities at the age of 14. So we're talking a lot of years.
Sounds like my family, Kath.
Well, one of them wound up in Nevada because one of them had two felonies and had to get out of California before he got his third. So they were pretty educated in what was a felony, what was a misdemeanor, how many can you have? And I say I correlated 50 court records from arrests in between all these different courts that don't talk to each other. So one of them that I found was interesting was they were up in Reno, North Reno, were arrested for, one person was arrested for theft in one of the major grocery stores, wound up in jail, booked and out by four, were in Sparks that night, arrested for theft in a grocery store. I said, are these the same? No, they weren't the same. They just happened on the same day. In my travels of this, I asked one of the court document people that was giving me some of the court documents, how come this is this way? You know, it's like every other week there's an arrest, or, you know, a month goes by with no arrest. There's only 2 months in like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that nothing has happened other than they finally put them in jail? One went on a drug rehab, one went into jail, 6 month period of time. To me, if the police are having to deal with those two people 100 times for crimes, they must be awful frustrated.
They've got
to
be.
The other thing that,
well, and they downplay things. You know, they're called petty crimes. You know, so it's like,
and they know it.
Yeah.
They know it. So they know the game. And the game, it has been lifelong for them. From 14, now they're 40. 26 years. What has it helped? It hasn't helped the community, and it hasn't helped them. And my biggest surprise in all this was that none of the courts looked at their records or what the other courts were doing.
Yeah.
Some of the records, I got one like 20-page document from Carson City, and all of it was blacked out. I had to kind of go through it to see, well, what's going on here? And you can't tell what, you know, it's like, and the judge is probably going, this poor person, you know, a drug addict, a petty crimes person. Okay, we're going to have you be drug tested for 30 days. And I think the whole system of how the courts work in Nevada, and especially in these two counties, a lot could have been done with those two.
You know what, Kath, it's not just in this couple of counties, it's not just in this state, it's all across the country. And law enforcement is not the problem. The courts are the problem. The lawyers are the problems. The city, the elected representatives are the problems because they don't hold people accountable. People are screaming for prison reform, that these people need to be let out on because they just had drug charges. Well, how many of those criminals had their lawyers plead them down to just drug charges and then got put away for those? And now they're getting out when they should have been charged on higher crimes. It is about a society who feels everything now and feels for people. And it's about emotions and not logic and not law and not holding people responsible, not making them pay their dues. Yes, some of them are absolutely ridiculous. You know, the grandmother that was in prison who got let out. Absolutely. We need a non-biased organization going through all of these issues. Not the parole boards who can be biased, but this system has to be looked at and not just keep blaming things on the police. Cal, thank you so much for your call and thank you for your due diligence. You know, R&D, if people don't know, stands for research and development. And you have to do your research with Anna, who just sent me an email and now I'm pissed off. Because she sent me the email that, by the way, I hate to burst your bubble, but Google owns DuckDuckGo. Sorry, love Anna. So much for trusting my techie friends. So much. Now I'm going to have to find another search engine. Anna, you did. You just burst my bubble. We'll be back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Okay, we worked it out. Here's the story. Google does not own DuckDuckGo. I was very concerned about this. All right, check this out. They are competitors. What Google did was very quietly, they added DuckDuckGo as a search engine option for Chrome users. And then what they did was they actually sold Duck.com. Google owned Duck.com and they the domain. And they let DuckDuckGo have it. So they still are a competitor. They are a private entity. So there you have it. I'm sticking with DuckDuckGo. I'm not dumping them. But this is how it starts. This is how we all have to do our research. But fortunately for me, I have a research person on the end, on the other side of this that keeps people going. Let me get back to what I wanted to talk about. And that is Governor Sackless or Sisolaking or Cicilline, whatever you want to call him. He is just I can't use that term, and so I'm going to move on. With everything that we've got going on with law enforcement, with them being demonized, and they're in despair. They're getting depressed. People want to defund them. Others want them disbanded. I think that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my entire life. Not to mention, you might remember that when Obama was running for office, he wanted civilian security forces. That was one of his ideas to bring in. He introduced the idea of a civilian national security force. What does that mean? That means federal law enforcement, federalized law enforcement, nationalized law enforcement. That means they have control of all community policing, all county, state, whatever. They want to do away with local law enforcement. And they are demoralizing the men and women in blue, green, beige, whatever they're wearing, to the point where we have them retiring. We have them just leaving the force to go do something better because people don't appreciate them. And please hear my words. We love law enforcement. We know that you weed out the bad apples. And we will support you. We will march for you. We will stand for you. But it's almost impossible when you have a governor who should be working to reopen this state 100% with no restrictions so people can get their lives back. He is worried about our law enforcement and targets them. So yesterday, Schmuckalack put out an order that all highway and state police must no longer have any paraphernalia with the thin blue line flag on display while on duty. The thin blue line flag has to be removed from cars. It has to be removed from your office and all workplaces. Troopers can no longer wear pins, bracelets, any type of jewelry that has the flag with the thin blue line. And you have to cover any tattoos or markings with the flag. Why? Because the thin blue line flag is offensive to the governor and his supporters. Black Lives Matter. You know, those people. We deserve better than this. We deserve better than him. We deserve better than the people who are demoralizing our law enforcement. Like Sheevy. I'm not even going to call her the mayor anymore because she sucks at that job. She needs to go back into the clothing industry. But she's a darling in the Democrat Party, so she's going to go on and more than likely get into higher office somewhere because of her financial backings. Unless you say no more. And you stand up for our law enforcement. How dare him? When people were peacefully protesting in Carson City and marched to the Capitol with American flags, with children, families, and because we are an open carry state, some, a very few from the numbers that were there were open carrying. Even though the media tried to make it as they stormed the Capitol, they stormed the mansion, which they didn't. They never even got within 30 feet of the front door. Because you know who was standing out in front of it? Well, just for the basic fact that this was a peaceful protest and they wouldn't have done that in the first place. NHP was called in. For backup. Local law enforcement. They were the ones there surrounding him and his family in that mansion. And this is how he repays them. This is how he says thank you. This is how he says, I appreciate the job you do in protecting my sorry butt because I don't deserve it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go into your office and take down that American flag with the thin blue line that shows that America supports our law enforcement? Or are you going to stand for your rights? Jim, will you please hang on the line? I got to take a Fox News break here, but I want to talk about that thin blue line with you. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
For Mason and Smith Valley.
Hey, where did we go? It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Where did we go? How did we get to this point where we are now? Just telling you, if people are saying that we need less law enforcement, you might want to think about them and what they're doing. Maybe they're doing something bad and they don't want to be caught. Because you go into most places and actual people, business owners, are asking for more law enforcement. Talking text lines, 884-9910. And Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Get to a few of your texts and your emails. First off, though, we want to go to the lines and check in with Jim this morning. Hi, Jim. You wanted to talk about that thin blue line?
Yes. Good morning, Monica. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love your show. Thank you for everything you
do.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment on the thin blue line flag. I am a big proponent of police. We shouldn't reduce our police. I happen to feel our communities in Northern Nevada have a good relationship with our police departments than other places in the country. And however, I don't really approve of the thin blue line flag. And I'll tell you why. It kind of symbolizes that that's their flag. And I think part of the reason there's a disconnect with police is some people see it as an us versus them mentality. And I think the thin blue line flag kind of denotes that we have our own flag. We're our own separate, organization or whatever, and that's ours. And it kind of separates them from us. We're, our police force is supposed to be part of our community. We put a lot of trust in them. I served in the Marine Corps, combat in Afghanistan, and, we wore flags on our body armor, but they were American flags. They had no special colors or anything. Sometimes they would be black and green for camouflage purposes, but, we're all Americans, and we should all serve and rally behind the same flag, I think.
Well, but this flag came about when officers were being murdered as a sign of support for them. Because if you see a lot of people, like I have a thin blue line flag, and I have no involvement with law enforcement except from the past. I have it because I show it as a sign of support for them, because they are being demoralized, dismantled, and abused at every turn by, elected representatives and others. So I get where you're coming from. I understand that. But when there are flags that, they have flags like that for the military, though, that they have them for the fire department. They have them for different organizations. So I think for a governor to tell his law enforcement, the NHP and the state police, that you are not allowed to wear these, you're not allowed to have them in your office, I think that's totally wrong. I wanted to have a rainbow flag at my desk, I'm sure there would be no problem with that whatsoever. You know what I mean?
No, there absolutely wouldn't be. I'm sure with you on that. I agree. I don't believe it's the governor's place to tell American citizens what they can and can't express. If it's a decision, it should be made by the officers and their department alone. They shouldn't feel pressured from any political, governor or congressman or anybody for that matter. But I see it as it could be one of the small things that contributes to what people perceive as the disconnect. I'm appalled at the treatment and the rhetoric I hear being talked about our police in this country now. I mean, it's uncalled for. Most of it's false and untrue. And I don't approve of it, and I think it's disgusting.
Yeah.
But I think there's a small few things police can do. I've noticed also over time that police tend to be more Not all police departments, but I see a lot of these guys with a lot of, some of these guys look like they're ready to go in on patrol in Iraq or something. They're wearing so much, they're wearing more gear than I wore when I was, you know, getting into, you know, actual firefights with, you know, enemy combatants. Damn, these guys are wearing more gear than I was, you know, magazines.
Exactly.
All this stuff and military vehicles, up armored military vehicles and small police departments that don't really need them, I don't think. And it's just, you know, I think that could be part of it also.
Yeah. I think what we need to get back to is community policing. You know, people know their officers. They know who they are. And I know that there were some sheriffs that were trying to encourage that and get people to, you know, I want to see the officers smile at me when I smile at them. You know, I don't want to have them on edge thinking that anywhere they turn, they're going to be yelled at. They're going to be, you know, cursed at, called names. And I mean, when you have people walking down a highway chanting pigs in a blanket, you know, fry them all up, it's other people out there creating the rhetoric that tries to turn us against our law enforcement. You know what I mean? So, Jim, if anything out of this conversation, I got you to call in.
I appreciate it. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Jim. You have a great day. That's the point, is we just keep listening to this rhetoric, and it has to stop. John is joining us right now, wants to continue the conversation about the thin blue line. Hi, John. Thanks for the call.
Good morning. A couple of points on this. So I understand that the governor has told the troopers they can't wear the thin blue line flag pin on their uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about that this morning.
They can't have any jewelry, bracelets, anything.
Right. Well, they are members of the Highway Patrol, and the Highway Patrol has a uniform, much like many other police agencies, and they have a uniform standard. So I think I don't agree with the governor. I'm not a supporter of him. However, enforcing a uniform standard across the board is well within, you know, any administrator's rights. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, you can't do this, and people take affront to that. At the same time, I mean, if officers want to wear LGBT, BLM, Antifa pins, where do you draw the line? So that's why you have a uniform standard. And the other
you look at the religious aspects too, John. If I mean, look at how many people have gone into law enforcement now, and they want to wear the headgear of their religion, or they want to, you know, male and female. You know, that has been given, and that's been
followed.
The standards have changed, and, you know, even in the military. But if it's a necklace, if it's a bracelet, if it's a flag on your desk, that is not his. That shouldn't be any of his concern.
Understood. So the other point I want to make, the thin blue line flag, I personally consider it an insult to the American flag. The American flag is red, white, and blue. The colors are well-defined in the U.S. code. So we have the thin blue line flags. You have the thin red line flags, I believe, that are firefighter.
That, yeah, fire department.
I've seen red and blue.
There's also yellow.
Supporting and yellow. And I'm sure there's a thin rainbow line flag out there somewhere, too, all of which are disrespecting the American flag at any level. There's nothing you can say that says, well, it supports police, it supports fire, it supports LGBT. No, the American flag is red, white, and blue, a blue field with white stars arranged as specified in the U.S. code. And anything other than that, or a deviation or a use of that as a decoration or a piece of clothing, is disrespectful to the flag altogether.
You know what? I will give you that, John. I do agree with that.
Yeah.
But people, you know, I look at people that I guess it's disrespectful because I have American flag clothes. I have shirts with it emblazoned. And, you know, I look at it more as a form of patriotism. But there will always be, I think, those two views on using the American flag. But, John, thank you so much for calling in for your opinion. I think that brings up a great discussion. You know, maybe that's something that we should do as a poll question in the future, is should we just have the American flag and get rid of all these other, you know, things? I mean, some people will look at it as a bastardization of the American flag, when we should be looking at that we are all one, whether you're law enforcement, firefighters, troops, citizens, black, white, whatever religion, we are all under one flag. And that is the American flag. All right, back to the phone lines. Checking in with Ken this morning. Hi, Ken. What would you like to talk about today?
Yeah, Monica, I wanted to pay a compliment to you. Two or three days ago, I believe you recounted a situation where an elderly lady or a senior lady was in a store with a cashier or a clerk, and they had a discussion or a dialogue about things that were now versus back in the day.
Yeah, the good old days.
I thought that was, I've been a long time listener. I think that was your most significant lesson for anybody that wants to understand why we're in the mess we're in now that you've ever given. That was your best dialogue. And you've given some really great, monologues. But I thought that was stunning, and I would request that you, a couple of times a month or whatever, you just repeat that, because to me, you would educate and illuminate to many listeners that perhaps can't catch you all the time and may have missed that. I think that was brilliant and should be repeated, because it really showed you how society has lost its way in terms of, we've become lazier, more indulgent, and frankly, even politically, a little bit complacent.
Very much so, politically. Very complacent.
So I would just request that, you know, almost, you should almost have that as just some stations will play, you know, the national anthem as the show ends or whatever it might be. I would say you could not say that too often, and I think a lot of people, I've actually sent an audio of it to a friend up in the Seattle area to provide support to them during this crazy time.
Well, thank you so much, Ken. I appreciate that. You know what? I am going to go, since you said that, I'm going to go put that on my webpage on our website so people can share it and have it, because it shows us exactly why we are in the situation that we are in today and how people are manipulating us. So, Ken, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate your time. Let's go back to the phone lines and check in with Kelly this morning. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, I wanted to let you know that I discovered the United States Civil Peace flag, and it's beautiful. It's blue stars in a white field with vertical stripes rather than the horizontal orientation that you see on several wartime flags. And I've been flying that since I learned about it. And it's beautiful. Yeah.
It is very pretty. It's my producers pulled it up and showing it for me. But what is the point of it?
Well, I just think that if we do a little research and look into history, we'll see that it was the commonly flown flag before, I think, World War II, and then it's been in the horizontal orientation with the different colors ever since. And I think that we should be declaring a state of peace upon the land. And, you know, even the wind and the waves, when someone says, peace be still, you know, Jesus, they obey. And so I'm for peace.
I'm for peace, too, but this is definitely not peacetime. So I'm for flying it during peacetime. But right now, give me the good old American flag. Kelly, thank you so much for the call. And thank you for that information. I'm going to have to go research and see how that flag came about. And we can share that with the listeners. Gino's on the line right now. Gino, do you have a couple of thoughts for us as we start to wrap up the show here? Hi, Gino.
Hey, good morning.
So what's on your mind, Gino?
Hey, Monica, you know, just this conversation is going, it's very good. It puts me in mind of, you remember our national motto is E Pluribus Unum, out of many,
yes,
one. And we used to be called a melting pot. But that wasn't good. That was like, you know, breaking down of our backgrounds and becoming one person, this new creature the founders put together called an American, and the idea of an American. And yet we've broken that down. We've gone back into balkanization. We've gone to tribalizing everything. And, you know, we no longer are a melting pot. We are a salad where every flavor is distinct in texture. And it's like, but, and so the idea of going, you know, united behind the flag, those of us who think that way are like, yes, that's what it's supposed to be. But that's not the way young people have been taught anymore. And the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of society, schools, we have lost something so great. And you look around the rest of the world, and the idea of an American still means something. But here, we've just kind of, we're so familiar with it, like, it doesn't matter. And we have taken for granted, and we have lost the great strength of our, do I use the D word, of our diversity. But it was diversity of E Pluribus Unum, out of many one, out of many religions, one person, out of many people groups, one, mm-hmm, out of many languages, one, this idea of an American.
And Gino, that's the whole point, is to, we got too comfortable with that, and they want to divide us once again. It's men against women. It's black against white. It's Muslim against Christian. It's everything against everything. And the reason, again, is that division, because when there is division, you will fight amongst each other because, well, one side has to win. We can't all be unified.
Yeah.
And everything you look at, Gino, when we wanted unity, what do little white kids love the most? They love hip hop. They love yeah, the music of that culture. But then what happens when they enjoy it? Then they're appropriating, you know, the black culture. They think they're, you know, hip. It is just, you can't win, yep, for trying.
And you can't even enjoy it because you're told, oh, you appreciate black culture, but you don't appreciate black people. It's like we are in diversity, great thing. We're all individual, diverse people, but we focus on the division of diversity rather, mm-hmm, than the unity. We are all people made in God's image. Oh, I know, I can't talk religion. That's a terrible thing. You know, it's just like even those words have become.
Yeah, you can on this show.
Oh, I understand. It's just, it's really kind of madness, and I'm hoping that out of all of these crises, never let a crisis go to waste, right?
Right.
Out of all of this, that people will start to understand that we can't survive this way. We got through the 60s, you know, and it was like this for a while, and but here's the other thing is we've, you know,
oh, I can't let you
people.
Go on. I'm sorry, Gino. I can't let you go on to another thing, but you can call back tomorrow because I got to take a quick commercial break here and then we've got to wrap up the show. I hate 12 o'clock. I just want to keep going, but we'll be right back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 99.1fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was a great conversation about different topics. And you have to take a stand for yourself. If you are an employee or a franchisee of all of these big corporations out there that are pushing and standing and donating to Black Lives Matter, remember, you're an individual. And the company may feel that way, but you don't have to feel that way. In my personal opinion, BLM, Black Lives Matter, not to be confused with the Bureau of Land Management, because some people are actually confusing that, is a domestic terrorist organization meant to divide us, funded just like Antifa, just like Sunrise Movement, just like all of these other movements and organizations out there, by Open Societies Foundation, which is funded by George Soros. And what they are pushing is hate and division. if we are going to be unified, we have to stand up for the truth. And the truth is, these are the people who want to defund law enforcement. The people who want to take your property because they believe it belongs to them. Is that unification? Why are they pushing this? Do your research. Duck, duck, go, and figure out what's really going on. Because it's not about a virus. It's not about racism. It's not about all the other garbage that they keep throwing at us. It's about an election. I love you.